Pickaxe.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Pickaxe.
Hello and welcome to 0 Degrees, the podcast with no qualifications where we try and solve your complications. I'm Ravs and I'm joined by the lovely Harry.
Hello. How are you doing?
They're very good. And our very special guest, Tommy B.
Tommy
Bates. Producer extraordinaire. Wow. Editing king himself.
The animator.
Nigel and Marmalade, the master, the animator, the
goat.
The goat.
I'm glad you read the description I gave to you that I wrote down. This is perfect. Hello, everyone. I'm Tom.
Yay.
I do those things.
You do all of those things,
all
Tom.
All of them.
Tom, most importantly on 0 Degrees, the thing we have to cover with all of our guests.
Yes.
Do you have a degree?
I do have a degree.
Oh, my
that's
God.
Fine. You're not
degree.
The first guest to come on with a degree.
Filthy degree haver.
Turns out most of our guests actually have degrees, and we're in the minority not having degrees.
Mm. I did a film and television production degree, so it's not a real one. It's just a shit one.
It's a fake one.
It's a fake degree. It doesn't mean anything at all. I've never, ever been asked. I think it was my sister was like... they said, oh, we found your degree certificate. This was literally this Christmas. And I was like, I didn't know that exists. And she was like, do you not need that to get jobs? And I was like, I don't work in a real industry.
No
one cares if you've got a degree. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter.
Did you enjoy going to uni then? Was it a good experience?
So my uni experience was I found this list of like film schools in the UK that were supposedly like really good. Mm-hmm. And I just went round all of them and managed to get into one, which was lucky, in London. Mm-hmm. So I went to London, which wasn't my jam at all. I'm not like a London guy.
Yeah.
And I knew I wouldn't be, just because I'm not like a country bumpkin, but I grew up
London
kind of near
different.
The...
It's different to every other city. It's just enormous and annoying.
It is.
Like getting around such a hassle. It's so crowded.
Also,
like...
being a student there, having no money.
Oh my God.
Sounds like a nightmare.
This was the big thing, was like, I had like, I think 30 quid a week to get my food and have
what?
Fun. And it was like...
So you ate a lot of like 11 pence noodles and shit like
all
that.
I could get my hands on. Yeah. But it was like, living in London is like great if you have the money to go to the theatre and do all these things. Like, it's nice to walk around, like go for some nice walks, see some things.
Lots of wonderful things you can see. But...
Yeah, and great people, really enjoyed it. And we managed, like, to be honest, I don't want to dominate the conversation.
No, just,
fire ahead.
One of the best things was one of my friends got into stand-up comedy, just amateur stand-up comedy, and we ended up going to all these random nights above pubs,
That's really good.
And because it was 2009 or 10, you'd see people like James Acaster before he was James Acaster.
Jesse
Long and... what's it, Sarah Pascoe, and these people who hadn't quite hit yet, but in their early days when they were figuring stuff out, like in the back rooms of pubs.
That makes it feel really exciting and real, right?
It felt really energised, like a sparky sort of
atmosphere. I'm on the edge of TV, I'm on the edge of comedy, we're here, we're in the melting pot of it all.
Is James Acaster a stage name, or was he called, like, my name's Gary Stubbs?
Yeah, Willie Bumpkin, he was, no, I don't know.
He was good.
It was really good. And it was like you said, it felt like, ooh, we're seeing something that no one gets to see. And that was one of the great things about being in London. And also, Ginny Weasley was on my course at uni.
Holy fuck.
I feel like I had this memory of, I think you have told me this before.
Yeah, Bonnie Wright, she's the actress who played Ginny in Harry Potter. And it was day one, standing to wait.
So wait, 2009, what stage of Harry Potter?
They were still making it because she'd occasionally go off and
Oh shit! Okay.
Yeah.
How was that? Did they have an ego?
She was great. No? She was really lovely.
People must have been quite, because that's a she's an A list.
Well, it was
at
one
the
of those
time,
things.
She's, I'm not saying she's not now, but at the time, she's very much an A list.
Oh, it was
actress,
massive.
That's like she's enormous.
But it was one of those things where I think I I didn't actually meet her on the first day because we were all nervously waiting outside the lecture hall. Yeah. And someone stood next to me and I looked at her and I was like, do I know you? Like that kind of like little...
Yeah.
Wit. And then I was like, oh no, it can't. Surely it can't be... Yeah. I can't know her. Well, it can't be Ginny Weasley or whatever. And then, yeah, it just turned out to be her. But
that's so weird.
Yeah, we weren't like best buds or anything, but you know, like we...
Yeah.
Spoke, had conversations, hung out. She was lovely. She was really nice.
Was she
nice.
Like good on the course? Did she like...
Yeah, she was good. Well, she has Hollywood set experience.
Say, like, I feel like
she's great.
Like,
yeah.
Kind yeah, of right. unfair comparison.
She was like, yeah, I think she like webbing that shit.
Yeah, you know? She got to hang out in the edit rooms at Harry Potter and find out about how they made films. So honestly. So
oh, wow. That's like cheating.
That's a bit OP mode. On the film course. Yeah. But no, she was great. She was really nice.
So you had to make a final movie for your film course, I guess, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah. So she directed one and she got potentially Oscar nominee David Thewlis to be in her
Jesus.
I don't know if he's won an Oscar. Wow. He's a fantastic actor. Yeah. But it was the kind of thing where it was like, we don't stand a chance. Like all the parents were like, oh, look, I recognise him.
Oh, God.
Was it good, though? Like, outside of obviously including some A-listers, was her movie good?
Yeah. It was fun. We were all like art students. We were doing art. Okay. It was like the uni is University of the Arts London. So we were all like... artsy people. Mm-hmm.
Did you get given like a outside of like your area of research and things you like, did you get given like a prompt?
So for the final film,
like going in to make the final film, just having nothing to go off is actually impossible.
Well, this was it. So in the course, like the years leading up to it, you'd get given prompts for like you're doing a documentary and then you'd do a short TV drama, you know, you'd have different parameters until you get to your final film and then it is. There's only a limited amount of directors who could direct films because not everyone could be a director on our course. Some courses do that, but what it was basically of the people on your course, you had to use it to make up the key members of each department. So I was an editor.
So you were split into a group. It was like a group project.
Well, the way that it worked was that you, if you wanted to be a director, write a director, you would pitch to the entire class what you wanted to do. So anyone who wanted to pitch could pitch. Mm-hmm. And then you voted on, I think it was 6 films. Then you would sort of crew up would go out. Well, you would either go up to a director and say, I love what you've pitched. I'd love to work as a cinematographer.
That's quite intense. That's fucking a lot.
That's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of process to get there.
But it's kind of a good like test of being a filmmaker and having to sell yourself a little bit.
Yeah, because I guess you have to like go to actors and go to like fucking all these different departments and be like, I want to do this for
this
you.
This is it. Although to be fair, like with me at least, and it might have worked this way with a few other people, is like I had... a friend who I was like, oh, if your film gets picked up, I'll edit it. So there was like me.
So you didn't have to sell your editing
chops. No, exactly. Yeah.
Because that's like, quite intimidating as well.
I mean, you kind of know it because you've been on a course for 3 years, 2 years together.
You know what people are like.
You know who you get on with. So like me, the director and the cinematographer were like really close as friends. And we were like, we'll work together no matter what. If we can, we'll try.
Did you have to like endure any like super wanky like films? Like did anyone like, because it was an arts place, did anyone make like some super just like, what the fuck is
so
this?
Everyone is so nice, and I don't remember off the top of my head a like super wanky one. I feel like I after uni made a super wanky one.
All right, okay.
But, like, because I was at uni and then in my spare time, because I was so like desperate, I'm like, I need to make stuff, which is you know, that's just my default.
That hasn't changed.
That's you.
I would go home over Christmas break in third year of uni while we were doing distance and final final year film. I shot another film for £30, sci-fi film.
Okay.
Which a friend of mine
£30.
For £30,
Sci-fi £30.
Even with inflation, it's probably like £40.
Yeah. And the thing is, the hilarious thing is we were all with our final films, which we'd all pitched in like as much money as we could raise. We were trying to get a few thousand pound budgets. Like this £30 film ended up at the same time as all our other ones were struggling to get into these festivals. I just submitted it to Raindance in London and got into the Raindance Film Festival.
Oh, wow. Holy shit. On a 30, 40 pound budget. Like,
so that was...
Wait,
that...
I was just... Sorry. Yeah. 30, 40... I was so stuck on that. Where did that go? Was it like... It was one meal deal for the first
day.
You know, so, it was a taxi to the bus ticket to...
This is it. So we didn't count the camera because we already had the camera. Yeah. But like, we had two actors who we didn't pay.
Nice. Good.
They were like acting students.
SAG afros.
Don't tell SAG. Don't tell SAG. it was... what was it? I think we bought... we bought some clothes, as in like tops. So it was Primark costume. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. And that was it. No, that was free. We got someone to do the music for it and they did it for free.
Okay.
So yeah.
But that's also quite a skill in itself of actually getting people to do shit for free. Like,
it's
partly connections, it's partly like, but it's also a lot of persuasion.
This is it, and we reached out. It was like finding the right people, and you know, I was 20, 21, like, yeah, 20 years old, and you're working with people who are similar age, and everyone's just excited to make stuff.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They're all learning from just like trying, and you're learning to direct, and they're like, oh, this is weird being directed, and I'm directing in a shit way. You know, everyone's figuring it out, and it's just a bit of fun. No one's actually ever going to make money, but it was nice that like the actor could come, but the actress got to come and see herself on the big screen in London.
Oh, that's cool.
It was really cool. Like, it was a cool experience. However, I sat there the entire time cringing, being like, I am so full of myself. This is so embarrassing. I'm so up my own arse with this movie, because it was like no dialogue. And it was like moody, sci-fi, atmospheric, like really
sci-fi
like
on a £30 budget.
Yeah, yeah.
No dialogue.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
I don't think I've shown it to anyone since then, because that was one of the reasons that like I love Yogg so much and came here, because it switched my brain from art school, which is where I came from, where everyone's talking about all the you know deep meanings, which of course fantastic. Yeah. But Yogg's was just pure entertainment. Like if you aren't entertaining me, you are doing a bad job.
Do it fast, do it quickly.
And that was my sort of resolution coming out of that cringing feeling at the cinema, where even though it was only 100 people, 200 people in the room,
you were like, oh God, like it was all weighing down on you. Like,
I don't know if anyone said like, when you watch a film with an audience, you don't need the audience to react. You just feel everything. No one needs to tell you. Just
like when you show someone a funny YouTube video and they don't laugh.
It is exactly that feeling. It is like, oh my God, I'm collapsing into myself. Why did I do this?
We have a question that's related to this, but before I jump onto that, I feel like, is that not then the perfect transition for you to then do what you do now, which is a lot of animating and shorts?
Yes.
Like that feels like actually that, like, it's actually arrived at a very logical kind of conclusion at its current stage.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's interesting to think about it like that.
Absolutely. And it is like, it's still, like you said, it's still that ferocious need to like make stuff.
Yeah,
like
going,
because I make, like you said, Nigel and Marmalade, these online shorts and stuff.
Well, yeah, I remember that some of the other ones that you made like before you did the Marmalade, and I was like, oh, those are fucking awesome. Like,
I love some of the ones are maybe my favourites.
Yeah, it's like a Mary Poppins one. But it's like, that's just like, that's what I've been doing in my spare time since I was 8 years old. It's just after school, after work, whatever, go home and make stuff, write stuff, try and get stuff going. And the animations are the only real thing that's actually taken off for me. And yeah, it was purely like everything I'd sort of tried to learn over the years of like, how do I script? How do I make stuff? How do I work with all of this stuff just sort of distilled into this thing that I can just go home and draw on my own and furiously put in as many hours as I want and come out with just something that I find entertaining.
In some ways they are very short, you know, quite far away, little silly animations.
Yeah.
But actually, it's that building of experience, that building of, there's so much that goes into getting there.
You should see me like on a night before recording the animation, agonizing over like, well, the ending shouldn't be this, it should be, and the endings are stupid and all of them are dumb. I'm really agonizing over the structure and the wording and the dialogue and like,
I don't
really
think people quite understand how much time Tom Bates spends doing these animations as well. Like, you are committing like 10, 20 hours
a week. It's 20 to 30 hours a week on top of the job. Like,
it's mental.
Yeah, like really, I'm crazy.
He's using his mind a little bit.
How did it feel when the first one went viral? Like the first one that like really popped off?
It was unbelievable. I think it's actually, working here made it more real. Because I imagine if you just worked a random 9 to 5.
If you were down at fucking, I don't know, some estate agents.
Yeah.
And just suddenly you've been drawing in your spare time.
Yeah. Like, I've been around people, and technically YouTube has been paying my bills for 10 years.
Yeah.
And I'm around people who make a living, and, you know, we've got fourth floor here. Like, they work with other people who,
the
like,
number 1 million isn't such a shocking number.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, it's still very, very gratifying.
Super fucking
stuff.
Cool. Yeah.
And it was still like, oh my God, this is happening. But it wasn't so bizarre that I'm like, Or at least it equipped me with the tools I needed to, okay, well, I know I need to do this, this, and this. I've been running YouTube channels for a long time, so I know what
I want
to
do. You're just going to lose your mind. You know?
And it was, I guess the difference is I didn't feel overwhelmed by it.
Yeah.
It was incredible and amazing. It still is. Like, I still am just amazed that it still gets views and stuff.
Yeah,
and it is
the
most incredible thing that's ever happened.
It's a really strong community as well. I read through the comments a lot on it. Yeah. Like, you've posted a lot of fan art to your Instagram.
Yeah.
It's really fun how tight-knit that love for that
it's
little amazing. Passion project really is.
I saw a few people got some tattoos of Nigel.
A lot of people
that's
got tattoos.
That's
yeah.
That is
yeah.
crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, I've seen, working in Yogscast events, I've seen a fair share of Yogscast tattoos.
Yeah.
There are a lot out there.
Yeah.
but how many people tattooed things that you've drawn is still, I have a couple of blurb ones, I still think it's mental.
Yeah, like, it's the fact that it was something mental. That I just doodled on a page a few years ago and turned into animation is now stuck on someone's body. It's incredible.
So,
it's amazing.
So cool.
It's a lot of weight now to be like, don't fuck up.
Kill them off.
Exactly. But no, it's really cool. Very exciting, very amazing, and thank you for anyone who's watched and liked and done that. It's amazing.
You should check out Nigel Marmway. It's amazing.
And go support Tom on Patreon as well. He works very hard. He deserves it.
And the hoodies are very soft, and you should buy them.
Hello, 0 degrees. I have a quick and stupid query. What is proper etiquette when my friends send me memes? Since on Instagram, you can see if someone has liked or reacted to something you've sent, I feel a little sleazy not liking or reacting to memes that my friends send me that I just don't find are funny. Am I an asshole for doing this? Or am I justified for simply being honest that some things they send me are just not funny or interesting at all? What do you guys do if someone sends you a fucking meme that you just don't think is funny?
I, out of respect, have a little heart.
Oh, really?
The pity heart.
I give the pity heart. I don't think it's funny. Like, if it comes from like my mum or my dad, I'm like, okay. So, you know what I mean? But like, but I'm sitting like, that's terrible. But if it's like someone who I'm like, you should know better, that this is not funny. they still get the pity heart from me.
Well, that's very generous of you. No matter what. I think for me, it's bringing up feelings of, I am so bad at responding to messages full stop.
Yeah.
That like I have people left for potentially years where I'm like, oh no.
I'll give them their heart eventually.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, I don't know, like I think I feel a lot of pressure when I get a message anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially if it's like something you have to think about. Like, think of a response or something.
Yeah,
I'll be like, cool, I'll tackle that later. And then a day goes by and
just think I might have missed it.
Exactly. And then a week goes by and I'm like, oh, it's a bit long now. Yeah. I should reply. I haven't made, oh God, it's 2 weeks. Oh, it's a month. And then suddenly it's too long to reply.
Yeah.
And then it's fine until you need to send them a message.
And then you're confronted
by that fucking stupid that you read their message.
Yes.
If they just lied, I wish I could just turn that off. I don't get red receipts. I can't give red receipts.
I have that as well. I have two WhatsApp chats that I have not clicked the notification for, and it's been too long now.
This is it,
But they've seen that I've been online, and I'm just like, I can't do it.
It should just be more socially acceptable to not have to reply.
I think I sort of have curated a personality of, Tom is not good at replying. Don't expect it. Because like the family group WhatsApp is just...
I don't know about you guys. I've always hated group chats. Like, I'm in several group chats. Like, the nature of what we do, there's tons of group chats. Yeah. I fucking hate group
overwhelming.
Chats.
Yeah, I find it a bit annoying.
Yeah.
I find a lot of, like, instant messaging pretty frustrating, which is weird considering we're, like, online people. We do a lot of online-y things. But I feel like I'd rather always just talk about things in person than go... I feel like people sometimes just keep group chats alive for the sake of keeping it alive. And I'm like, you're posting nothing.
Stop
giving me notifications I'm like, oh God.
It's homework. It feels like homework.
I'm still like off the mindset of like, I got to get called up my mum.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
My dad's died. The worst thing in the world has happened.
I mean, I found it so crazy when you phoned me for MCC. I was at dinner with my parents. I'm like, Harry's phoning me. I am cancelled or something.
Drop everything.
Like, I'm going to get kicked out of the network. Yeah. They found my David Attenborough porn collection. Like, I am done for.
I'm surprised you picked up because I don't answer. If people call me, I don't answer my phone.
Yeah.
No.
I will let it ring and then I'll send a message like, what do you want?
Right. Yeah.
Like, I don't do phone calls.
That's the way it goes these days. Like,
we're not a phone call generation.
No. You warn if you're going to phone someone. Yeah. I mean, even my... Yeah, if my family were to call me, it's like, oh fuck, it's...
I would be like, it's a disaster.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, someone's dead or something.
Yeah, exactly.
It's quite cute. My dad sends me memes, but he emails them to me.
Oh, that is... And he
sends,
that is cute.
And he sends them as like, the URL is the title of the email.
Oh.
So I always will respond to those, like, have a funny dad, love
him. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
I guess that's it. It's like the closeness or the sweetness or like, if you're someone who, if, for example... Okay, this would be the worst situation. Mm. They send you one, you don't reply, and then they keep sending it, and then it's like, oh, I'm in too deep now, and you've made it awkward, even if you reply to one.
It's even worse if you reply, haha, that's really funny. You're engaging them to do more.
Yeah, I love this. Keep going.
You know, good dog.
Yeah.
Keep bringing me shit TikToks.
Yeah. Like, I like sharing them and stuff like that, you know, but I need to be in the mood for it. Like, if you load up a fucking DM and there's 79 reels to go through,
oh my God.
I'm like, fuck, no.
It's also, do you then feel obliged to reciprocate and, yeah. and do it yourself. Because if they're only if they're the ones only sending, does it feel like, oh, I'm offending them because I'm not doing
I only
the
do it
back.
If I see something that makes me think of those people, you know what I
yes,
mean?
That makes
but
sense.
It's such a big thing now. Like the people like the whole like tag a comment of your mate up thing is like on TikTok is insane.
That's just the drive engagement though. It's like, you know.
But like people love doing it. I watch my partner do it with their friends and they're just like backwards and forwards. They're constantly sending each other. That, you're not even really watching the things that they're sending. You're just like avidly sharing.
Yeah.
And it's, it's mental.
I don't know. I feel like just for me, interacting through messages has like a weight of social pressure to it where it's like, if I'm just not equipped mentally to deal with a constant influx of messages. I'm very good. I'm fine if it's like, cool, we chat, like with my family, we have a chat for an hour on a Sunday and that's sorted.
And then you go, fuck off.
And it's exactly, that's exactly what I say at the end of every conversation.
I hate you.
Getting down to the nitty gritty of it, then you are like, I'm not hitting heart on any of your TikToks you're sending me. I'm not liking that message.
I aspire to be that person.
I think the
I do not do it.
I think writing out a fucking message is crazy. It's a crazy idea to write out a message. But the reaction stuff is has saved, I think,
the reaction is great. Because I have done it before where it's like, what do you say? Haha, yeah, that's so me.
Haha, that's a great dog. That dog's doing a crazy flip. Yeah. Wow.
And I also don't know anymore, like, is ha-ha-ha good? Or are you supposed to do crying?
I still do ha-ha-ha-ha. Yeah. I also will type, like, fucking lamau.
Yeah, maybe.
Or something like that.
So lol is like, lol. It's like kind of like sarcastic.
The trouble is we don't have someone here, right, who's coming to perspective of constantly sending these memes. I don't know what type of person you need to be. No. Like, what kind of brain-breaking fucking brain do you need to think that, like, I don't think that that's okay to harass your friends with constant memes.
Oh my God, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I feel like I see enough shite on the internet, on Twitter, on Reddit, on Instagram, on TikTok. Mm-hmm. I don't need more of the bad shite to be constantly sent to me.
I only do it to people that send them to me. If they send them to me, I'm like, cool, you want memes, I'm going to send you some memes if I think of you.
You've set the playing field.
I'll bat back to you.
Yes, exactly.
And it's not that we don't want, like, recommendations, right? Mm. Like, I love sharing movie ideas or documentaries or YouTube videos, like, sharing things that are worthwhile.
Yes.
Yeah.
But a 10-second brain-rotting, time-wasting...
Well, it's also my recommendations for movies.
Girl trips on fork.
Yeah. Brilliant. If I'm recommending a movie to you, I'll recommend it, but I don't necessarily think you're going to watch it.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I'm okay with you never talking about it again.
Yeah.
I just wanted to share this movie I saw. You should check it out, but, you know.
And that's it. So, because the thing is, there's an expectation. Oh, it's just 20 seconds long. You might as well watch it.
Yeah.
We're not friends.
I have 50 people messaging me memes. How do I keep up with my memes? Like, yeah, I just can't.
Do we need to develop a new app and a way of sharing it where you can recommend to your friend funny ones, but they're not, it's just the social expectation is not there to watch it.
Or you have like an app which is like, you have a certain quota of memes that you're allowed to be sent to you. So it's like, I will accept 10 memes this week or a day or whatever. If you can take a lot, you can add a lot. And then you just get a response, which is this person has reached their limit of memes.
That suddenly becomes amazing. If I can set my quota, like I can hit one per friend, one recommendation per day.
Set a daily limit of how many memes can be sent.
Or it's like, this person's VIP, all access. Pass.
Yeah, yeah.
This person is terrible. They have zero, but they'll still get the same message, which is sorry they hit their quota.
We should cut this because this is genius. You're gonna have to beep all of this conversation.
But if that person is like
patent pending,
you. That if they're like the person where you're like, I like getting memes, but not from this person because we don't have the same sense of humor.
That's for drama.
Social drama. Then you're like,
Tom, why am I?
I noticed you have turned off memes.
No. But the notification you get doesn't say that. Notification says you've reached your quota.
Yeah.
And they're like, you reach a quota. And you're like, I can never send you memes. Oh,
you'll have,
you'll have
partners going through like their phone while their partners are sleeping.
You've got me blocked.
You've got me on one quota a day while Stevie's on 15.
Your VIP. Yeah. Can you imagine?
Your phone's dinging all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, you love Stevie's memes. Yes, nightmare. I feel like just the react, no reply is fine. And if they start spamming you, react to less and less.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's probably going to build a weird idea of what they think is funny, but we just also, don't watch them, just react. Also,
I think we've briefly talked about this on the podcast before. There's the weird nuance of reactions where like the passive aggressive thumbs up is a thing.
I'm a thumbs up believer.
You're a thumbs up boy. Yeah. You are a thumbs up boy.
This is why I'm afraid of reactions, because there's so many loaded meanings to it that I don't understand. Yeah. So, like, yeah, there was a thing that came out, wasn't it, where it was thumbs up, passive aggressive for Gen Z.
Gen Z think it's thumbs up. Yeah.
But it's like, is okay?
Is okay? Yeah, symbol. I started using like the Italian like pinch
like the pinchy,
because I was just pinchy's like nice. I'm like it does, it's perfect, you know, good, like,
but there's just too many connotations to all this stuff that we don't understand. But then again, I think we're getting to the point where if someone
just post a laughing eyes rolling emoji,
that okay? Mm-hmm. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
well, there you go.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Hello, I'm Wheels, the Dungeon Master for Storybreakers. Love Critical Role and movies like Hot Fuzz and Spotlight? Actual play series Storybreakers combines the fantasy adventure of Dungeons & Dragons with small-town comedy and mystery in an episodic tale of journalists on the hunt for the secret underbelly of a tiny town where nothing seems to happen.
But excuse me if I don't think a bunch of ragtag journalists from a podunk town are actually going to be of any help.
But technically, I don't come from here.
When the mysterious arrival of a celebrity from the Heroes and Adventurers Guild sets off a strange conspiracy, the group will have to leave what they think they know about the world at the door if they're ever to unravel the truth at the heart of this seemingly nondescript town.
It's not front page of the Sasai Star. No.
I pull up the today's like installment of the news to see what the front page actually is.
There's a big picture of a pumpkin that's been stepped on, and it says, "Outrage as pumpkin stepped on."
Storybreaker Season 1 in its entirety is available for listening right now wherever you get your podcasts, with Season 2 on the way. Find out more at dicebreaker.com.
Just there we go. Hit the little heart. Dear 0 Degrees, I put my underwear on inside out this morning. I am now at work and all I can think about is how my underwear is on wrong. It's 9:15 a.m. Do I wait until lunch? Do I go to the washroom early and fix it? I was just there, but left without fixing it because I didn't want to get naked in a stall. It makes no difference, but I can't stop thinking about how it's backwards. Please help, unlucky underwearer.
Do they mean backwards as in back to front? Like they've got the penis pouch on the ass?
Yeah.
Or just inside out? Because I wore mine inside out the other day accidentally.
Inside out, I feel like wouldn't be as bad as back to front.
If suddenly you've, and I guess it's like, do you have a cock and balls that's being crushed or pushed in by?
But also,
the,
like, you have more space for the ass cheeks. Yeah, it's back to front, then you've got big flabby bits at the front.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that how pants work?
Yeah, they're slightly. Yeah, more you're right. Actually, more bum.
Yeah.
Because inside out would then not be a problem, but back to front would be a real big problem.
That would be actually tighter on your cheeks.
I'm also like, is it inside out? You know,
inside out and back to front.
Inside out and back to front. You know, what
you said the penis pouch, and you raised a really good question in my brain. Why does anyone ever use the penis pouch? The penis pouch to me is one of the most redundant.
You mean as
invention.
In like the folding, pull apart thing?
Clarify for listeners who are not wearing men's boxer briefs.
Yeah,
there's on a specific type of boxers. There's a weird kind of. It's almost like a hidden turnstool that your penis hides behind.
You know, you
It's like
it's overlapped.
Yeah, it's a door without a lock.
Yes, uh-huh. It's like a cloaca.
So there's a passage that, if chosen, your penis can traverse through. Uh-huh.
But it's kind of like a winding.
It's like a zigzag. That some people like rest their balls in there.
No. I'm saying when you go for a piss, who is the effort
going
required
through
to go through the penis passage?
Who is doing that? Because you're like, you're suddenly like squatting down, reaching
but like,
in.
It's also like fucking, they've got two bits of fabric that are pushing against my penis now.
Yeah.
It's like stopping blood flow.
Honestly,
stopping
dangerous.
Pee flow.
Yeah.
Other flows.
Well, like putting your finger over the end of a hose. It's just like spraying.
I have never used it in my life.
No.
Yeah, I'm a boxers man. Like, I just
really?
I have the button.
You're a traditional boxer.
I'm a traditional boxer.
That is so much time wasted. Years of your life doing and undoing that button.
No, but I don't undo the button. I'm an over the fence.
Yeah, I feel like no matter what you wear, no matter what device has been made, we're all over the top people.
Yeah. I'm over the top. Yeah. I don't fuck around with that button. That button's just there.
I feel like it's serial killer vibes. If your penis is going through the penis passage and out of the zips with the button on your trousers done up.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
And I feel like if
no one pisses that way.
Nobody.
And if you're at a public urinal and you're there like fiddling with a button, if you're like just that standing there like trying to figure it out, you know, or what, looking though? Down, or
yeah, if
you know,
if motherfucker's looking down and he's jiggling, yeah, stuff, yeah, like, yeah, I'm moving wrong. Away, yeah, I'm yeah, running. Yeah, yeah.
I have always wanted to do the fully drop trow.
The drop trow is crazy. Like, oh, crazy.
The schoolboy,
schoolboy special.
Down to your ankles, lift your shirt.
Yeah, that's how you do
I'm
it.
Pissing.
At my school, at my primary school, there used to be you would walk past the boys' toilet, and for some reason, the urinal trough was right there in front of the door.
That's mad. Wild.
They eventually built a shield when they realized, oh yeah, there's young boys', the boys' asses.
Boys'
just
asses.
Like,
Oh my God.
This was I was what, 6'5"? Yeah, you know, you don't give a shit.
I don't think I ever did that. Yeah. I think even as a kid, I was like, that is weird.
Yeah, really?
Like, that is crazy.
You were just there with your cap on at the back. I was like, what are you doing?
Fucked up little kids. I've never used the penis patch. I think it's a redundant, most redundant thing.
So you guys are boxer briefers then?
Yeah, so like a trunk.
Yeah, like a trunk.
I have been considering switching to a looser brief. Not brief, boxer.
Yeah.
Do you recommend?
Like, I am not going to mention the brand that I wear because they won't sponsor us. And I'm a ride or die with a company. They have the comfiest shit, but until they pay me, they are the comfiest fucking things in the world. I will recommend them to you.
Okay, off camera.
Off camera.
I think I always worry. I quite like it.
They sponsor a lot of
podcasts. On a day like today,
okay. Yeah. I think
on a day like today,
I
that's you know -2 outside or something. I feel like a boxer is very airy, and I don't feel like I need aeration on a day like today. I need fucking warmth. I need to be like hugged back in.
These boxers like are huggy. They like hug.
I so want you to stand up and just show us, but it's fine. I'm going to have to use the imagination.
Yeah. I can give you a little flash.
Okay, they're elasticated fabric. I'm thinking of a very fabric. Like.
You can get a little flash.
When I think of a boxer, I think of a very like cotton boxer. You're wearing far more elasticated boxers.
Because I was going to say that's been my experience where I've tried in the past to switch to a more traditional boxer, and there's no stretch, and it's quite uncomfortable because if you twist the wrong way,
if it twists, you're suddenly getting like fucking balls getting garrotted. Like
these are so stretchy, they're so comfy. It feels like my balls are in heaven.
So I have quite like my thighs have always been substantial thighs, and so I've always you know, for a, if
most
I like
humble statement ever
and it's like there's a lot of like cutting in that can happen, especially with the trunk, which is what I'm trying to deal with, because I never fit the size that I might normally wear, so I get a size up, but then it's a bit looser and a bit like.
I just feel like trunks have never done me dirty,
right? Okay.
They only confuse me with the penis passage.
What ones are trunks are the ones. Don't trunks have a button as well?
No, I think they can.
They can, but it's more common for them to have the penis passage.
Yeah. I've noticed a lot of them just don't have stopped putting in the penis passage.
I just feel like it's a waste.
Mm-hmm. It is a waste. Yeah, there's no point. It's just like more fabric.
It's literally just like a hand's worth of more fabric.
Yeah. It creates
like a weird, like, because it's two like flaps of fabric that is.
Yeah, precisely. It's
uncomfortable. Yeah, every pair that I've worn that's like that.
No, it's not good.
But yeah, they're the boxes which are skin tight on your legs, and then they have a pouch for your cock and balls.
Now, if we were to wear these boxes back to front, I mean, I would question whether I even notice.
I'm wearing a pair now. I'm wondering whether to go to the bathroom and try.
Okay, here
do we switch your route.
Here is like the website.
Okay,
that I use and your it's website. Got it's got all the different types of like.
No, these are the official types.
These are like types. Yeah.
I mean, I wish I could upgrade to a brief. A brief is a fucking real man. That is a real man's type of underwear.
The brief is real man's underwear, but it's also like, I'm an alcoholic who shit my pants.
Yeah, it is like big, like you know, it's big Trevor from GTA vibes is all I can ever think of.
There's two there. One is the boxer brief and one is the boxer brief with a caddy, but they're the same
picture. Yeah, the caddy is the ball caddy.
But don't they all have a ball caddy? Are they just flat at the front?
Yeah, what are they?
Soft sling in the pouch for extra support down there. So I guess that's for
how
people who are putting their balls
are your
in
balls?
There.
Well, your balls go in there.
Yeah, I think that's
a pouch.
I think that's what the suggestion
the pouch,
is.
Right? It's all in the boxer.
Yeah,
are they saying a specific bag for the balls?
So there's one which is like just a penis pouch and then the balls hang underneath, so you just have a really long
there's
pouch.
There's a long...
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a traditional boxer, man. I'm a traditional boxer.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I want to become that. And then eventually I'll get to brief when I'm 70.
Brief is
I can't picture briefs ever being comfortable. Like
if you've got, I reckon if you've got long balls that you could sit on,
yeah.
as happens when you're an older man,
keeping them
keeping them really contained not no danger of squashing them under your ass cheeks.
I got some fucking saggy sack.
Do you? Is that a thing?
Yeah,
I mean, maybe you should try it.
Yeah.
Give the brief mode.
I don't know. I just feel like they'd all be contained.
That's the idea. It's supposed to be like a bra for your balls.
No, I like the boys having a better room.
like the feeling of the pendulum.
Yeah.
Like the swinging.
But I feel like that's where you get problems when they start swinging around. That's where, you know, they get garrotted by some fabric or something.
Oh, you ride a bike. Yeah, something happens.
If they're not moving around too much, then it's like, they're safe. I know where they are. I'm not going to sit on them. I'm not going to crush them. I'm not going to walk them. Yeah. That walking rub you sometimes get.
Oh, you don't want
that. Oh, God, the walking rub. No.
Sorry, so the question.
What was the question? Yeah. Oh, the backwards one. So I feel like the pouch on the butt is kind of like, it's almost like it's ready for a poo to be.
It's like a fucking wicket.
Yeah, it is. It's just like a little poo pouch on the back, which just seemed weird. If you pulled your trousers down and you had like a little sack hanging from your asshole, you would feel like, there's something going on there.
Yeah.
And it would be, I guess, baggy at the front, like you said.
Yes, which would be weird. I'm sure it would be uncomfortable.
I feel like more the problem is the psychological aspect here, more than anything. Yeah. I don't think they're necessarily uncomfortable. I think it's that thing where you're like, oh, I can't get it out of my head. People know that
I'm a dirty backwards underwear wearer. Yeah. And they can tell. I'm walking differently. I feel it. I'm walking differently.
I'm walking like I've got an ass patch.
And I'm ready to shit in it.
So they said that it's like 9:15 in the morning. I feel like I would just go in and change. I would just like drop out. Just fucking. No,
I'd be a
around.
Naughty little boy all day.
You'd love it. I'm doing it right now.
I'm getting away with it. No one knows about my ass pouch.
I think that's it. Embrace the naughtiness of it. You're getting away with something right now that no one else knows.
I just feel like, from this question, I instantly took that they were American because they used the word bathroom stool.
Oh, interesting.
And American bathrooms are not safe. They are not safe.
You are so right, for anybody. The gaps.
The gaps in the American bathroom, man. That is not a cubicle that I would ever get naked
in. Does the American audience know that that's not normal?
Yes. I've ranted about this maybe seven times. It's my regular rant.
So I went to America recently.
Yeah.
How can anyone have a shit? I went to a urinal that was quite a confined one.
Yeah.
And it was like one urinal and one toilet. I start pissing in the urinal and I look right and there is someone on the toilet. Like,
you can just see his
fucking looking
face.
At them and I'm like, they don't crazy. Give shit. And it's like, oh, fuck, I didn't
mean
to.
It's like there's holes at every point. There's gaps between the door and the hinges.
Yeah.
And then there's gaps at the top of the... It might as well not have it.
It's insane. And I feel like we have the same, but they just build a shield over it.
But you could just put a floor to ceiling.
You could put a 2x4 of wood just to cover the gap if you needed to. But floor to ceiling is the premium.
So do you know why? There's a reason why American bathrooms are designed
like that.
It's to make them uncomfortable experiences so people don't waste time pooping at work.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is a fucked up...
That is...
Like,
yeah, that
to make
is
it
bad.
Not a safe place.
Don't enjoy this thing. It has to happen. It's a natural thing that happens to everyone. Enjoy it.
No, and make it fucking quick. Get out.
Yeah, squeeze hard.
Squeeze hard.
Get it done.
I mean, that also is bad for you.
Yeah, of course it is.
Talk about hernias, you know.
You don't want to be squeezing hard.
I don't want a hernia. No. That's a big hernia.
Nope.
Big hernia.
So we've gone now? We haven't checked in on the hernia in a long time.
You know what? I had a little bum thing and it's pretty much gone.
Is it gone?
It's pretty flat. You still tell there's a little something there.
Is it hernia or hemorrhoids?
Hemorrhoid.
Oh, hemorrhoids. Yeah,
hemorrhoid, yeah.
If only you had an ass pouch for that.
I thought I had an ass pouch. It's pretty much gone though. I'm having no issues with it.
Did that company do not a hemorrhoid caddy? Just like a tiny little
pouch
on the back.
One. That'd be
you can get like a little like golf holder. You play hemorrhoid golf. Yeah. American bathrooms are not a safe place to get naked in.
Horrific. Not a safe place to do anything.
No.
It's a scary. Like, what I will say is their urinals are chunky.
Yeah.
Like, they're big, they're wide.
They're huge.
There's like usually
how
barriers.
How do you find the high water line? In the
high water line's mad.
So strange.
So weird.
So strange. Yeah. Like,
also, it feels like a waste of water.
It does.
Massive waste of water. I don't know if like, at least the toilet that I remember looking at had a different way of flushing where it feels like our water comes from the top and goes down.
Yes.
Theirs almost sucked from the bottom, at least the one that I saw.
Yeah.
So I guess there's maybe, I wonder if there's less room for spattering.
Maybe.
Because I feel like if people like have heard that thing where it's like, oh, if you flush the loo with the lid up, it just sprays poo everywhere. Okay.
I know this movie, but you're going to have to recontextualize it a little bit because it doesn't just literally spray.
Okay.
It does, but
it kind of does. Like, this is something that ever since I heard this, I now flush with the lid down because it's disgusting. If you flush with the lid up, when the water goes in, water is ejected. Like if you've ever poop particles, sure, yeah. Like the water from the toilet goes into the air a little bit. Like if you sit on the toilet and flush it, you'll feel it all on the back of your legs, like water coming up.
I thought you meant like lifting the cistern lid off and hitting it, and it was like a
poop. Oh my god, no.
Hitting it raw, hitting that raw dog toilet.
Yeah. No,
I take the cistern off and let it watch the mechanical process go. Well,
there's a word for that though, when you shit in the cistern. What is it
called? Oh, someone said it. It's not a double decker, is it?
It's double decker. It's double decker. That's so funny.
Yeah, shitting in the cistern. But that's not what I'm talking about. Not saying that.
Shitting in the cistern is so hilarious.
I'm talking about the invisible poo mist that happens every time you flush. Yeah, so put the lid down, everyone. Make sure.
I mean, you should also put it on. It's courtesy.
Go on, you're right. Yeah.
Come on now, ladies.
But what I'm saying is that I wonder when water floods in like a waterfall from the top, there's more churning and more spray. From the bottom, it's more of a gentle.
But then again, their water line is so much higher. If there is any poo particles, the chance of them being caught in the bowl is zero. It's straight into the mouth, in the eye.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
I did notice in America, though, there's a very satisfying plop because of all the water.
Yeah, that is. I was trying to look out for that.
I was trying to identify whether you got more splashback or less.
Well, does anyone make a poo pillow here?
A poo pillow?
Poo pillow.
You just put a little bit of toilet paper down, just like a square.
You're putting it to bed.
You put like a suppressor on it.
Yeah, a suppressor for poo. Especially if it's like, if you're in a place where you don't want to be heard, it's embarrassing. Yeah. Maybe just put
on an American toilet where everyone can see that you're in there.
Yeah. The thing is, a poo pillow doesn't work in an American toilet.
No.
In a UK toilet, you know, the water's right at the bottom, so the toilet paper rests slightly above the water, maybe touching it a little bit. Mm-hmm. A poo pillow in America is just, you're layering a whole roll on top of the water. It just doesn't work.
It's very economically damaging.
But it is like a espresso, it's like a pillow, the poo hits the paper and then catches it and goes into the water.
Do you reckon
so
you get less poo particles as well, because then it's all wrapped in tissue paper?
Well, maybe.
Well, all the poo particles when you're sitting on the toilet are spraying on your ass, gooch and balls, so I don't think you have to worry too much.
I wish Jonas is where they're meant to be.
Yeah, which is where they belong.
Who am I to argue that poo should not live there?
Yeah, exactly.
It's my favourite place.
So I don't think you have to worry about the poo particles when you're sitting on the toilet, because you're a major blockage over the hole.
And also it's my flushing. The thing is, it's my poo.
You don't mind your poo on you?
No, it's weird. I kind of think it's not that. I did read recently, actually, it's not so bad.
Really?
To eat your own poo.
It's your own sort of colony bacteria.
Yeah, it's like, if you're going to eat any...
Is this just like the pest people, though, that I drink my
No. If you're going to eat poo, eat your own poo. Oh, it's basically like the rule.
If you have to eat poo, make it yours.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's like, because it's fine. It's not fine, don't eat your own poo, but like, of all of the poo to eat, it's finer to eat your own poo.
Yeah, well, I guess it's bacteria that is already in you.
It's already in you. Like, you're not going to get any weird pathogens.
It probably shouldn't be in your stomach.
I mean, it's just like, it's not nutritionally valuable.
No.
You know, there's nothing in it. Your body's already got what it can get out of it. Right. You know, apart from sweet corn, really that motherfucker can go round two.
Oh my God, that motherfucker, you've got to get him back in there. Got to digest
him. You've got to go round.
This damn sweet corn. I'm on round seven.
I will digest you.
Yeah. I've been carrying this week on with me for 7 years.
It's like a sourdough starter.
Yeah, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Jesus.
You just want a little bit of your corn. Oh. Get used to my bacteria.
Oh my God. So backwards underwear. Yeah, I just feel like you've got to ride with it. There's no way I'm
own
going
it.
Into the
Always
American
own
store.
It in any situation. Yep. If it's not hurting anyone, own it. And I think, you know, it's just your thing now.
Can you take your underwear off without taking your trousers off, though? I feel like there's like a Mr. Bean sketch where he does that.
If you were to... Ooh, if it's stretchy.
No, because you can't take your legs through, like, because of the crotch.
If they were super elasticated, you could get it down and through your leg and under your foot.
If it was super elasticated, but that needs to be, like, Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah. Do you think it's weirder to go to work wearing backwards underwear or going to work commando?
Commando, 100% commando.
You think so?
Yeah. Backwards underwear is an honest
mistake. Commando is like, I feel like it's like a brief. It's like a statement.
I'm one layer closer to your genitals. Like, I need that two-layer gap.
Are you thinking about that?
Yeah,
I'm
thinking about it.
You walk across me like, two layers.
It's like I brush by, oh, excuse me, just slipping by in the kitchen. Yeah, oh, wait a minute. I'm not feeling that second layer.
Second layer. That safety second layer.
Yeah, I'm too close.
I'm too close.
I need my two layers and your two layers between genitals and bumhole.
And through the poo particles.
And the poo particles,
yeah.
Because you're smothered in them.
That's true. The poo particles are going straight onto the jeans then.
Yeah, right.
And you know, sometimes, you know, in the urinal, you might shake off and maybe have one last drop that ends up in the boxes if you haven't, you know.
Yeah.
It's that last.
It's hard.
Capture.
Oh yeah, you're taking it's hard. Away. Women don't get this. Yeah. It's fucking. You know, my partner mocks me a lot for it.
Yeah.
The little occasionally there's a little,
little drop.
Occasionally little drippy. It didn't fucking hurt anybody.
No. Mm-hmm. But I think the boxes, if anything, they're there to catch the little drippy.
Yeah, that's like, really what they are.
Yeah, because otherwise it's just going straight into your jeans.
Is that
or your
why trousers. They have the pee passage? There's more fabric there to catch the pee drop.
Oh my God,
we have just solved it. That is what it is. It's more absorbent. It's not supposed to be for your dick.
supposed to be for the beat.
It's like a pad.
Me on a Sunday morning trying to figure it out. Yeah. They're like, this fucking guy's a moron. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Maybe you can, like, you know, like a filter, make a little, yeah, get a bit of toilet paper, slide that in the little pouch.
Ooh, now we're talking. Yeah, yeah, like, yeah, elevating
like
it.
Like a fucking, yeah, mayo tampon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Tampon, yeah. Like a fucking pee pad. I need, yeah, my pee. I put my pee pad in.
Yeah,
it's very,
yeah,
normal.
Yeah, yeah. Don't worry. Yeah.
We're
normalizing every day. Yeah.
We're normalizing sanitary products. Yeah. We're normalizing my pee products.
Honestly, I love this. This is great.
Good idea.
This is smart.
We could sell this.
I have quite a conundrum that maybe you could help me sort out. I really fancy Jessica Rabbit from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Right.
So much so that I have artwork of her hanging on my wall. I also have more sexy art of her for other uses. Right. I find both her body type and red hair very attractive, not to mention her silky smooth voice. My question is, how do I find girls like this in real life?
What?
I find going to bars and other social settings difficult. Please help. I need my tall... Oh, I need... Please help. I need my tall, busty, redhead girlfriend. P.S. I hope the pegging goes well, Ravs. Love the pod. Okay. So this person wants to marry a cartoon.
they want to fuck a cartoon.
I think we've got deeper issues going on here than just wanting a redheaded girlfriend.
So I put that question in, Tom, because I read it and I was like, I instantly was thinking, how would you react if someone was writing that about Nigel?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'd be deeply concerned.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, the fact that Nigel isn't even a human. Like, it's kind of, Nigel doesn't really have anything going on there. He's like, and also he...
You're saying he's Ken-dolled?
He's Ken-dolled a little bit.
Okay, okay.
Well, to be fair, we've never seen him derobed.
No, he could be chatted.
You never know,
there.
Guys. You never know. He's magic.
Mm-hmm. He's magic, magic.
But I think Nigel, look, I don't want to know if it's happening. I don't want to change the way that I think about my boy Nigel.
No, of course,
yeah,
of course.
But Jessica Rabbit at least has anatomical bits.
Yes, yeah. You know, yeah. She's in many ways, she's
booba.
For young yeah, for many young kids, young men out there, there's a moment watching those movies, you know, where we all go, wow, yeah, isn't she a lovely lady?
I think there's no denying that, yeah, God, she looks great.
She's an attractive cartoon.
If I was a cartoon man, I want that.
Yeah.
But I think the deeper issue is the maybe obsession that's happening.
Mm.
And if you were to get a similar girlfriend, are you going to expect them to be...
Are they dressing up? Are they looking, yes, like, you know...
Do they want to look like this all the time?
Yeah.
Do they need to look this 100%? Because...
That's a high standard to be holding. Slightly fucking high. Yeah, crazy. Yeah, yeah. Crazy standard.
Every morning waking up doing the Jessica Rabbit.
Yeah, oh my God, every fucking morning.
In the fucking, dress.
Like, oh my God, did you see? There was like an old manual of... from like the 50s of what a wife should do. Oh, and it was, God, like, one of the things was get up an hour or 2 hours before your husband, put on a full face of makeup and go back to bed so that when he wakes up...
No!
Wow, that's fucking crazy.
No. It's fucking wild.
That's literally horrible. Like the fucking sad clown
it
meme
is,
putting,
yeah,
on the,
yeah,
fucking,
yeah,
makeup.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, the high expectation is horrific.
Yeah, I mean, this guy's expectations are through the fucking roof.
Yeah,
yeah, Jesus, yeah, yeah, Christ. Yeah. I want Jessica Rabbit. Like, that's crazy.
I feel like you just have to realize they are 2D and you're 3D, and it's never going
it's
to
never
work.
Never going
to
work.
And
yeah,
you have to move on. You need to go cold turkey on Jessica Rabbit.
I'll give you a tiny bit of hope. Maybe he finds a nice cosplayer that will dress up as Jessica Rabbit for
every
him
day of,
yeah,
their life.
That's it. Yeah.
It's
like,
an insane...
Oh, every day, no. But like, maybe it's a little treat.
Yeah.
Maybe that's... He just needs to release. He needs just, yeah, needs to... have that moment, you know.
God,
just
it do sounds it once like
have the storyline be complete.
Yes. It sounds like they're unhealthily into Jessica Rabbit if they're like, I have her on my wall and I have my secret Jessica folder.
Yeah, there's a lot of thought going into it. Yeah. A lot of thinking and time. Effort.
And it's nice that they can admit it, you know, that they can put
honestly
it on paper.
Be open about this stuff. It's,
yeah,
fine.
Yeah.
It's fine to talk about.
It's fine that you need to stop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I guess it's fine until it involves another human being, mm-hmm, who you're going to treat like a cartoon.
Yeah.
You know.
I feel like, I like that it feels like they're weaning themselves down slightly already. They're like, I just need a big red-headed lady. You,
yes,
know?
And that's fine. That's
great. Wonderful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's go down to maybe just redheaded. You know, let's lower expectations, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Let's build it down a little bit. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, the outfit isn't so important. The red hair.
This is
it. It'd just be lovely to find somebody, wouldn't it? Stop looking at the cartoons.
Yeah.
It'd be lovely to find somebody.
And I would say, is it Jessica Rabbit's personality that you like? Is that any part of it? Or is it purely the looks? Because
The looks going to be fake. Hard.
Looks fake. And yeah, Jessica Rabbit has a pretty high standard of looks. Like, mm-hmm. pretty unattainable.
Some would say it's pretty
beings.
Unrealistic for women to attend yeah. to be like Jessica Rabbit.
To have a 2-inch waist and
oh my God,
massive
that
bust.
Waist is like, how are you anatomically alive?
Yeah, she's not. She's cartoon.
She's a cartoon. The reason she looks like that mm-hmm. is fake. It's yes. not real. Yep. Stop dreaming about her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would you guys have you guys ever fantasized about a cartoon like Jessica Rabbit?
I mean, like when I was a young man growing up, I had like crushes on like the Hex Girls from Scooby Doo,
nice.
Fucking Shego from like
Shego
Kim Possible.
From fucking Kim Possible. Is
Jesus
is
Christ!
Crazy.
Oh
like,
yeah,
I think I feel like we've been like psyoped into loving like the goffy type
of
characters.
I do feel like. Like, yeah, you're right.
I feel like think of how many fucking cartoons and shit. I was always the goth person.
I feel like the first cartoon that made me like go like, was The Lion King, and that fucking.
I'm sorry?
Who's the lady lion?
Nala.
I was like, what the fuck?
You were like, I want to fuck that lion.
I was like, I want to fuck a lion.
Well, lion.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I was like,
your
that's
life
crazy.
Could have taken a totally different mm-hmm. path.
Now I hate furries.
Oh, yeah. No, I think of it. There's that scene where she's like the fucking eyes on top of
Simba. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's what's the Love Me song? Not Circle of Love. That's Circle of Life.
I can't remember. I feel like I've stopped watching that movie because of
you
it.
You had to
I had to like disconnect. This is my advice. You have to stop.
Honestly, before it goes too far.
Yeah,
this is it. Yeah, this is what would have happened if you'd have carried on down that path. Picture of Nala on the wall.
Fucking just big posters. I'm looking for my Nala.
Spending a lot of time at the zoo.
Going to Kenya a lot.
Got a fucking bad dragon thing.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So what? So Nala was yours?
That wasn't like my first. Like I loved it, but that was the first time I was like looked at a cartoon and was like.
I don't remember like cartoons being a thing. I remember there was like the I guess like no, because I'm thinking of the villain from Sabrina the Teenage Witch. I used to watch that, and I was like, I don't know if I was like six or seven when it was out, and she was like an older woman who's like kind of mean, and I don't know, maybe I was into that. Yeah. But cartoon wise, I remember Jessica Rabbit being like, oh wow, but it was almost like too much for me as a kid.
It was too much.
It was like too sexualized for. Little me.
When I first watched it, I don't think I even understood.
No,
I don't think I really knew what was going on. I was like, oh, that big lady.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I guess that's it.
I don't feel like I computed it.
No.
I think because also she seems like an adult, and so as a kid, she's very adult.
Yes. Yeah.
Just all of her mannerisms and stuff, and so it's like, she's not interesting.
Yeah.
Like she's not my friend.
I was trying to think. There was some Simpsons episodes that I was trying to think of the characters in it. Like I remember when. There's an episode of The Simpsons where Homer, is he like a manager of a singer, like a country singer?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember liking that character, mm-hmm. but I don't know, like there's certain characters, but maybe that's because the story was all about that as that was in my mind. I don't know if there's anyone,
maybe.
There wasn't anyone that I was like obsessed over cartoon character wise.
No,
mm-hmm.
I think because it's hard because they're a cartoon.
Yeah. I get it. Some people, it does. Yeah. Their brain is switched in that moment by.
It is weird. There's nothing you can do to control it. Your brain is just like.
For sure. It's looking for those moments and things happen, you know.
And you have to bring yourself down, though. You've got to bring yourself back down to three dimensions.
And like you said, they've already started doing it. What are the core key elements that you like about Jessica Rabbit, and how do you make that a human being? And also, I'd say you're talking a lot of physical attributes. Is there personality?
Yeah, that's
common
very,
interest.
Very shallow.
Maybe that's like how you're going to... Yeah.
I do think that it's really interesting. When we talk about dating a lot, you know, people say, oh, what kind of hair do you like? It's all these physical things, and it's never like the type of personality they are.
This is interesting, because like hair has never been a thing for me where I'm like, I love a particular kind of hair.
I couldn't give less of a shit.
I don't...
Like, it's more exciting... Like people that dye their hair and shit, you know, it's like people can dye their hair, change their hairstyle, it doesn't matter. Like,
I really, it's never factored
doesn't,
into
does not matter.
I'm not like,
no.
I love a particular
but
kind
I do
of
feel
hair.
Like some people go around with like their fucking list. I have my
list,
and
this is
of,
it, yeah.
And if
yeah.
they've got a brown hair and blue eyes,
yeah,
and they're not
yeah.
5'11 plus,
yeah.
then you're fucking
yeah,
not,
so
never
dumb.
On my radar.
Yeah,
it's like,
no,
like, is that do you know what? Is that stereotype as bad as loving Jessica Rabbit?
Oh, maybe.
I feel like both are just as healthy for dating scenes.
Yeah, it's the same
both
thing.
Both are really dependent on physical looks.
Yeah.
I guess in a way,
I mean, there's nothing wrong with finding particular attributes attractive. Of course. But it is like, if you're like, well, this person is like my best friend, I get on with them so much, but they have blonde hair.
I want
a red hair. We're literally perfect for each other in every way.
Her eyes are green. She's 5'9". She's 1 inch smaller than I wanted.
It's like, I would never accept this.
No, exactly. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone would ever actually do. I feel like at some point people just get lonely and sad enough to be realistic.
Oh, at some point everyone gives up.
Yeah.
Maybe this person is still excited, still like on the cusp of their dating life.
It strikes me that they're like maybe... It feels like they're maybe like 18, 19.
Don't say that if they're 48. Like that, you might.
Oh my God.
You never know who is writing in.
They watched the Jessica Rabbit in the cinema when it came out.
Jesus.
Who's their first kid? Charlie.
Yeah. After my divorce from my first wife, I got obsessed with Jessica Rabbit.
It's hard on Tinder, only swiping right for people named Jessica.
He's not anywhere to be found. Yeah, it feels like, you know, this person still has a lot of hope and they just haven't given up yet. Just give up. That's the advice.
Realistically, it's really fucking hard finding somebody. And I'm just worried that you have a lot of constraints on
honestly,
it already.
Yeah, maybe just work towards this, but start at a lower threshold of someone who has a common interest.
Okay, mm-hmm. Now, when they do find a partner, is it going to be weirder if they suddenly date a really tall ginger lady? That she finds all of this fucking, you know.
I really want to fuck a rabbit.
The fucking rabbit crate of rabbit porn and Jessica Rabbit fucking
Jesus
smut.
Christ. Oh my
or
God.
Or is it weirder?
That's weird.
That he dates someone that isn't, or they date someone that isn't ginger and looks like Jessica Rabbit, and then they find it. Like, which is the worst scenario?
So I feel like for the partner, it would. Oh, no, that is good. Because I was going to say, if you're the partner who hasn't had it revealed to them, suddenly it's like finding the dirty secret and it's like, I will never live up to this obsession.
This expectation.
Yeah. But if you're... I feel like if you are Jessica Rabbit and you're going out with this guy, you're being used.
Yeah.
But are you also aware of it, so it's okay?
Like, and now that you become aware of that obsession, like, is it a good thing? Like, does that make you feel empowered? It's like, he's really into me. He really loves me. Mm-hmm. Or is it like, he thinks I'm Jessica Rabbit?
And it sets the standard of like, well, the day that I don't feel like being a sort of Jessica Rabbit type, or you know, you don't quite fit that mold, then you're like, oh, they don't want me anymore.
Like the day I dye my hair is the day we get a divorce.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm just picturing, like, imagine he bags a tall redhead named Jessica, weird fucking build that she has.
Crazy.
And, like, a like, weird tuft on my lower back.
And he's like, you know, come up to my room. And then they go up there and it's like instantly a photo of Jessica Rabbit on the wall.
On the door before you can go in.
That's serial killer.
He's forgot
vibes.
To put away his extra shit that's all over the
bed. Yeah.
Sticky pictures.
Mannequins of like costumes.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
He's like,
I've
got something I want you to wear. And it's just like, sticky dress.
And he comes out with his rabbit ears on and his red dungarees as Roger Rabbit.
Call me Roger. Call me Roger.
I hate it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Dude, just lower your expectations. Cartoon characters aren't real. And fucking go fuck something else.
Yeah, I feel like
take down the photo, throw out the porn.
Yeah, wade out into the pool of dating, try some things, see some people, don't. And you never know what will come along. Maybe this will happen at some point. If you go for 100 people, maybe one of them has a bit of this.
I mean, the look he's going for certainly exists, but you're really trimming down your options.
Exactly.
It's going to take a long time.
Yes.
It's out there, but it's going to take a long time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Good luck.
Good luck. You can do it.
Wonderful. Tom, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having
me,
guys.
For a wonderful episode.
What a great episode.
So much fun.
It's really fun.
Go and follow Tom on Instagram, TikTok, everywhere. Go and sub to his Patreon. Got lots of lovely stuff on there. And thank you to all our wonderful patrons as well.
Yeah, thank you, patrons.
We're about to record a little Am I the Asshole for the patrons.
We've got a doozy lined up this week.
Yeah, got a real silly one. So come and check us out there. And if you enjoyed, send in some questions. We're always looking for more silly questions.
We love them.
Funny predicaments. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. See you next time.
Goodbye.
Bye.